This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Chronic hepatitis C infection can lead to long-term health problems, liver failure, and even death. The virus is spread primarily when individuals have contact with the blood of someone else who's infected. But now there is an easy and painless treatment for hep C, just approved by the FDA. But before people can get that treatment, you got to know that you are infected. Many people have the infection. They don't even know it. We're joined now to talk about the new treatment and issue concerning hepatitis C by Dr. Fred Pordad. He is the chief medical officer for the Texas Liver Institute and professor of medicine at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. Welcome to The Source, Dr. Pordad.
Thank you, David.
So we see the figure kicked around quite a bit, 3.2 million people in the United States infected with hepatitis C. Is that a good number? Do you think that's a solid number?
Well, I think it's a solid number, but it's probably an underestimate. The health survey that gave us that number looked at people, cross-section of Americans, 21,000 people across the U.S., but they didn't look at anyone in the VA administration system, nor did they look at those incarcerated, nor did they look at anyone who's homeless. So if we take projected numbers based on those populations and add it to the 3.2 million, we're up about 5 million or so. And that's probably more realistic.
And then we run into the problem that you don't know you have it. You can be infected with hepatitis C. You can be infected for many years and never even know that you have it.
Absolutely. It's a silent disease, and most people harbor the virus for 20, 30, even 40 years without knowing that they're infected. And only when the liver is truly sick do they develop symptoms from it. So people do need to be screened even if they feel well.
Okay, so let's talk about this new treatment. What is this treatment? How does it work?
Well, what got FDA approved just last week is a compound called sofosbuvir. And this is a direct-acting antiviral agent. This is one of many direct-acting antiviral agents that have been in clinical research programs over the past few years. And this is an important one because it's the first all-oral, in other words, no interferon shots, for genotypes or strains 2 and 3 of the virus. And so people who are infected with those two particular strains can get 12 or 24 weeks of treatment, depending on how much scarring they have, and this will allow them to have very high cure rates, upwards of 90% or so.
So the new drug, just approved by the FDA, it's a pill.
It is.
But you take it, a battery of these, a series of taking the pill every so often, and it will eradicate the virus from the system.
This pill is one pill a day for 12 weeks. For most of these strains that we're talking about, and you give it in conjunction with another pill called ribavirin. So these two pills together for 12 or 24 weeks are amazing at stopping the virus from making new viruses and letting the old viruses die off. And at the end of the treatment period, the majority of people come out with no hepatitis C. And we're actually calling this a cure.
A cure. And for a long time, that word was not used with hepatitis C when we were giving the interferon treatments, which it was basically, it's controlled, it's being managed, but now it's cured.
Right. For many, many years, we didn't feel comfortable using the word cure because we didn't know if the virus would pop up again years down the road. But now that we have over 20 years of experience with this particular virus, we know that it is either there or it's not. And if it's gone, it's gone for good. Now, that doesn't mean that someone could not get reinfected again. They certainly could. So even if you get rid of the virus, you're not immune to the virus. So getting reinfected from an outside source is still possible.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation about the hepatitis C, this new treatment. The man to ask is right here, Dr. Fred Pordad. He's been part of the testing on the new drug. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Dr. Pordad, you're the chief medical officer at the Texas Liver Institute. What role did y'all play in getting this to market?
Well, this particular compound, sofosbuvir, was developed by a company called Pharmasset, which was then later acquired by Gilead Sciences. And our role in this was to help them conduct the clinical trials. and we did that at the Texas Liver Institute. This drug has been in development for years, and in fact, more than 3,000 patients were dosed successfully with this drug before it came to market. So we have a very robust data set of safety and efficacy. So we know what the drug is all about in terms of its profile. It's a very safe drug. We feel very confident that it's going to do very well. So the Texas Liver Institute, in conjunction with the UT Health Sciences Center, is conducting research to develop new therapies in the field of liver disease, including this one, hepatitis C.
So what does hepatitis C exactly do to the body? Why is it so dangerous? And why are there no symptoms until it's too late?
That's a great question. So the virus infects the human body, and its intent is certainly not to kill the host, because if the host dies, the virus dies as well. So it wants to live in the liver and basically replicate, make new viruses, and go on its merry way. The problem is our immune system recognizes the virus at some point and starts to mount a battle against it. This battle ends up damaging the liver. So it's not necessarily the virus that hurts the liver, it's our immune reaction to the virus that ends up damaging our liver. But in addition to the liver, this virus has now been shown to affect other things and is associated with things outside of the liver. For example, some people develop a vasculitis or kidney disease related to this virus. Some people develop skin conditions, rashes. Some people have even developed a lymphoma, which is a type of bone marrow cancer that's been associated with hepatitis C in some cases. So we now know that this virus does more than just hurt the liver, but for many, many years when the person is first infected, it lives very quietly under the radar, doesn't want anyone to know that it's there, and it's only when the liver starts to become damaged or one of these other organ systems becomes damaged that people know that they have the virus. Although interestingly, most patients tell me that they have fatigue, they're tired, and this is long before they know that they're infected with hepatitis C. So it probably does cause some symptoms, which most people write off to being due to something else.
So who are the most vulnerable who may be infected but don't know it?
So of the 5 million or so that have this virus, 3 out of 4 of them, 75%, were born between 1945 and 1965.
So your baby boomer types.
The baby boomers. If we just screened all baby boomers in America, which is the recommendation of the CDC, we would find a lot of hepatitis C.
What about internationally?
Internationally, it's a slightly different story, but again, that same age cohort is very important, even internationally.
Okay, we're going to continue the conversation about hepatitis C, this new treatment that was brought to market here in San Antonio and is making news around the world. I want you to call in with your questions and comments. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're going to continue after this break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about breast milk and that breast milk bank and peer-to-peer sharing of breast milk, some issues regarding that and breastfeeding in public. But right now, we're talking about hepatitis C, and there's some exciting news about a cure, a treatment that has been approved by the FDA. Still a lot of questions out there and more breakthroughs to come. With me in the studio is Dr. Fred Pordad. He is the Chief Medical Officer for the Texas Liver Institute. And we are taking phone calls. If you've got a question, let us know. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And let's get a question on the air. We've got Dr. Shake. Dr. Shake, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. I have a question for Dr. Pordad. I was just wondering, is there any study undergoing for unusual strains like, you know, genotype 4? Because I know a subject, you know, who was treated for that with the interferon therapy, and it's a good response, but I was just wondering if you have any studies undergoing for those unusual strains.
All right, thanks for the call, Dr. Shake. Appreciate it. And Dr. Pordad.
Yeah, Dr. Shake, great question. And in fact, sofosbuvir has been approved for genotypes 1 through 6. Now, the caveat is that in the short term here, the first part of 2014, Sofosbuvir still has to be paired with interferon and ribavirin for 3 months for genotype 4. Now, the cure rates in that particular genotype were astoundingly high. They were in the mid-90s. So it's a very viable treatment. We'll have to wait until the end of 2014 with the anticipated all-oral treatments for genotypes 1 and 4. So we're very close. I think over the next 2 years, we're going to see several regimens that come out that can treat genotype 4. But for patients that need to be treated right now, this is actually a good regimen that works. There's also some very early work showing that sofosbuvir and ribavirin alone in genotype 4 actually do reasonably well also. So, yes, very important question, important virus and strain for many Americans and people outside of the U.S.
So, Dr. Portetti, Dr. Shake brings up an important point. There are different strains of hepatitis C, and different drugs are going to do different things. But so how does this treatment fare with the bulk of hepatitis C?
So that's a great question, David. The most common strain or genotype in the U.S. is genotype 1, and genotype 4 is very uncommon here. However, in Egypt, for example, genotype 4 is the predominant strain. So there are six different strains, and patients do need to know which strain they have because that will dictate to some extent the treatment, the duration, and what it means for them. The viruses all behave a little bit differently.
But we're hearing about, this is not the only breakthrough that's happening for hepatitis C. We've got more lined up. They're in the pipeline. So if this doesn't work for you, then something could come in?
Absolutely. In fact, 2014 will be a year of breakthroughs, if you will, for hepatitis C. There are going to be multiple regimens that are going to be talked about and are going to be coming in development toward the end of 2014, but we're certainly going to start to hear about them long before the end of 2014. So it's going to be a very exciting year.
Because I remember reporting maybe 5 years ago that this was a coming disaster. This was a healthcare disaster on its way. So much hepatitis C, so many people are going to have liver failure, not enough livers out there to help people. We need to do something. Then what happened? Was funding made available? Was this put on the top of the priority list for researchers?
It sure was. And I think that message is true today, that we are seeing a tremendous increase in liver failure, cirrhosis, liver cancer, all being driven by hepatitis C. It is the number one reason for a liver transplant in the U.S. So with that, of course, the appropriate resources were dedicated to discovering new agents, and the FDA has been a great partner along the way in helping expedite this so that we've actually delivered these agents much sooner than we normally would have with previous timelines.
Because we've heard so much about FDA foot dragging and being too cautious, but not this time?
Definitely not this time.
Okay, another caller we want to get on the air, Barbara. Barbara, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I heard you talk about scarring, and I was wondering who is ineligible to receive this new drug.
All right. Thanks for your call, Barbara.
So scarring is very important, and that's something that we all need to know before we embark on therapy. A tremendous amount of scarring, of course, is what we call cirrhosis of the liver. But there's good news on this front as well, and we now have a new technology for this as well. It's a little off topic of what we're talking about, but very appropriate, I think. Historically, we would do liver biopsies. We now have a device called the FibroScan, which was FDA approved in August. And interestingly, San Antonio has the only one in Texas at the Texas Liver Institute, but it's a non-invasive way to determine how much scarring a patient has. And by doing this, which takes only 10 minutes or so, we can determine if we need to treat a little bit longer, which we do in some cases. And more importantly, we can tell the patient that you have a lot of scarring in the liver, and these are the things that we need to do over the next few years to protect your liver and treat you that way. So very important question, and we do always need to know how much scarring the liver has.
How does that work? How are they able to detect the scarring without opening up somebody?
Well, this technology sends a shear wave, an elastic wave through the liver, which is followed by a pulse of ultrasound.
What do you mean that? A shear wave?
Yeah, it's a little wave that's
like a sound wave or something?
Well, it's similar to a sound wave. It's actually a little energy wave. and it's followed by a pulse of ultrasound, which then measures the rate of travel of the wave. If the wave is traveling quickly, it means the liver doesn't have much scarring. If the wave is traveling slowly and the ultrasound wave catches it quickly, it means that there's a lot of scarring. And it gives us a reading in kilopascals, which we then translate into degree of scar tissue. So it's a fascinating technology, and it's going to change the face of how we diagnose liver disease.
All right, another caller we want to get on the air. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. Lynn is on the line. Lynn, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Lynn, you there? Come on, Lynn. One more shot. Okay, we don't have Lynn. Okay, so we were... The cost for this, though, the drug, we're hearing that the price for a 12-week supply is $84,000. That's pricey. This insurance pays for that, or what?
Well, yes, it is. First of all, I agree with you. It is pricey. And second of all, most insurances will pay for things that are FDA approved, as this drug is. I also think that with the passage of time and other regimens coming to market, then certainly prices should go down. But we're hoping that most patients will have access to this. And certainly we know that historically, if patients don't have access to this because of cost, there are other ways to get drugs at a lower cost. So I'm hoping that we can serve most patients and most insured patients well by getting this drug for them.
Okay, let's get another caller on the air. Amy. Amy, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for having me. Just had a quick comment. Wanted to mention that my brother-in-law was effectively cured of his long-term hepatitis C last year. He was one of the first patients. He lives in Mississippi, but he was given the chemotherapy derivative drug over the course of about 6 months. And after that routine was tested repeatedly and completely cleared.
And so how does he feel now?
I'm sorry?
And so your brother-in-law, how is he doing?
He's completely cured. He shows absolutely no symptoms whatsoever. All of his blood testing, liver, everything, very good.
All right. Well, congratulations, Amy. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. All right, let's get another caller on, Erica. Erica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I am a pharmacy tech, and so deal with a lot of patients. And I was wondering what kind of prerequisite therapy you would need before you could move on to this medication.
Okay, Erica, thanks for that question. And talk about the availability of the medication, too.
Erica, that's a great question. So this drug is probably best made available through specialty pharmacies rather than going to a local drugstore for it. But in terms of the label for this drug, it has a pretty broad label, which means that we hope to offer it to patients who have failed previous therapies as well. So I think on a case-by-case basis, we should probably look at each patient and what their story is, but we're hoping that with a broad enough label, we should be able to offer it to most patients.
Okay, so say I have hepatitis C right now, and I'm hearing this radio show, and I'm feeling like I want this stuff. How do I get it?
Well, you need to see a physician, and preferably one who's had some experience in treating hepatitis C. What they would do then is assess you, and if it came down to you and your physician deciding that you need to be treated, they would call in a prescription, usually through a specialty pharmacy. They would then deliver the medication to
you. Even like today, like even it was approved on Friday, I can go to my doctor tomorrow and tell them, check into this drug, and what do I need to tell them? Just say...
Yes, and if they decide to prescribe it, they can prescribe it, and you should have it within a couple of weeks.
And so what if he says you're not right for this drug? This isn't for you.
Well, that's certainly something you all need to talk about. And I would urge people to make sure that the physician that they're seeing is well-versed in liver disease and has some experience treating hepatitis C. This is one of those areas where some specialty training is required.
And what about side effects?
Well, interestingly, David, in the clinical trials that were done, the side effects were minimal, and we have interferon to compare it to, which, of course, had many, many side effects. So the side effects of this particular drug have been no different than placebo for the most part, which is great news.
All right, another caller. Tim. Tim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. Tim, you there? Okay, not there. And let's go with Yvette. Yvette, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
This is Yvette.
Yes, Yvette, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a previous non-responder to the bocilpravir triple regimen, and I've got the genus type 1A. So I'm wondering how much more effective is this treatment than the previous one? I was quite sick on the interferon.
Okay, Yvette, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And doctor?
Well, Yvette, the good news is in the Lone Star trial, which was conducted at the Texas Liver Institute, we did treat people who failed bocilpravir and talaprevir and achieved a 95% cure rate. So I would say that it's very effective and much more effective than those other agents that were previously available. So it looks good for you.
So real quickly, because we're running out of time, who are the people who may be infected by hepatitis C and don't know it, and what can they do about it?
If you were born between 1945 and 1965, get screened. If you ever used injection drugs or intranasal cocaine, or you have multiple tattoos, get screened.
Yeah, because dirty tattoos, dirty needles, if you're people who did a lot of cocaine, you shared straws, that was passing the mucus back and forth, that could infect you, all sorts of things. You don't have to tell anybody. Just go to your doctor, and now there's a way to fix you up.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Fred Poordad, Chief Medical Officer for the Texas Liver Institute, thank you for coming and talking about this breakthrough medication for hepatitis C. In the next half hour, we're talking about breast milk sharing. Should you go to a milk bank or should you do peer-to-peer? Stay tuned.